You're listening to Grace Life Radio, WPGT 90.1 FM. Here at Grace Life Church, I am Matthew Graham, and joined in studio with Pete Collins and Jonathan Kodata, and you are now listening to Sunesis Radio.
Dun, dun, dun.
Very nice. And if you are wondering, we are missing our wonderful pastor, Brandon Ellickson, who is, where is he, Pete?
I think they were in Lima, right?
I believe they are in Lima, Peru. Yes,
some mountains somewhere.
Yeah, they'd come down from the mountains, and
we were almost without adult supervision, and Pete decided to step in for us at the last minute.
Yes,
yeah, somebody has to be the hall monitor.
Yeah,
well,
me and Matt alone, that would not have been a good show.
Well, that was the thing. We needed adult supervision, but no. Actually, right now, if you would be in prayer for our team that is in Peru, visiting our church plant there. Which is a wonderful thing, a small growing church where there was none, 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly how the Bible says we should do it. Plant the church and continue to disciple the people there. Don't just go for a vacation and, you know, get the t-shirt, get the photos, and keep going.
Got to get my Facebook up to running.
All right, we are starting with, Pete, it is question 15, correct?
Right. Question 15.
All right.
What are God's works of providence? And the answer is, God's works of providence are the holy, wise, and powerful acts by which he preserves and governs all his creatures and all their actions.
My initial thought is, but my free will. First thing that comes to mind. First thing
that doesn't surprise me, John.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you trying to say, man?
Anyhow, all right. So, what's the basis of that, John?
The basis of his providence? He is the governing control of everything, as it says right there. He is in charge, large and in charge. He makes all things happen. So, and as it says, governing all his creatures and all their actions. So,
it's all-encompassing.
Right, right. He deals with all of it. So I actually I did something.
You did something?
I did a thing for this. I did like one thing for this. I have the definition of providence.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. As per, for Brandon, the Westminster Catechism, which does a lot better job, actually. So God's benevolent and wise superintendence of his creation. So again, just for Brandon, God, the great creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise and glory of his wisdom, power, justice, and goodness.
You could preach on that for weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so much there, just word by word.
But you know what? It makes it so much easier to just have the scripture that backs up every part of that statement right there.
It does, yeah. You and the Lord, you alone, you have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you.
Yeah, and that's Nehemiah 9:6.
Right. I am a fan of Nehemiah. Just throwing that out there. I am such a fan of that guy. I like how there's lots of heavens. The heavens of heaven. Heaven has a heaven.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat. And then everything worships him. And what's it say? The seas and all that is in them. And he preserves all of them. What is that? Hebrews 1 preserves everything with the word of his power, holding it all together.
Oh, that's 1:3.
1:3,
I believe.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, but...
No. Is that in here?
John,
oh, it is in here.
This is why you have to be the hall monitor. John jumps ahead.
I know.
Well, no, because I didn't realize that it was...
It's there.
Like, it's there.
But your mind just went there.
It did.
That's
it did.
Nice. I like that.
Well, that's because every time I get out to my car in the morning, I'm like, the Lord is preserving this car by the word of his power. It is the only way I make it here and to work every day.
You know what? You're absolutely right with that, but... So many people don't even think about it like that. They want to take care of the small stuff themselves, but you know, the big stuff they'll hand over to God, but I can handle this little part of my life.
Right. I know. And it's inconsistent, firstly, and which we're all inconsistent somewhere. There was a previous episode where I talked about my inconsistency almost with this exact same subject, dealing with fatalism and determinism and deism and all of that isms.
Right.
Well, and if we look at what the answer says here, when it talks about preserving and governing all creatures and all their actions, it's built on the fact that he created everything.
Right.
He is the maker. He makes the rules.
Right.
And gravity.
Right.
Every social interaction we have, all the rules of how we work together, how we interact together.
Laws
That's why
logic.
Jesus tells us how to live with one another. Mm-hmm.
Well, and obviously maker and sustainer. There is nothing that is happening that he is not enabling to happen. I mean, there is, well, actually, not only allowing to happen, but that he doesn't already know is happening.
That's dangerous ground to walk on for some people.
I was going to say, man, I mean, what about like...
I'm going sovereign. I'll pick the sovereign card.
Right. But I mean, if we're going to get real about it, let's talk about the hard stuff. I have a family member who was murdered. What do we do with that?
There were hundreds of people just killed in the last couple days by a volcano in Guatemala.
There you go. What do we do with that?
How could God let that happen?
If he is a good and loving God, why is he allowing such terrible and tragic things to happen?
You know what? I can't tell you why, because I don't have the mind of God.
Exactly.
But I can tell you that for whatever purpose, it is to for his glory.
It is for his glory.
And sometimes it's what's really hard to understand is how is that for our good? With, I think it was your uncle. Is that right?
Yeah, it was my uncle.
You know, it's hard when it's personal. With the people in Guatemala, it's a little bit easier for us because we can say, well, it's showing people that there is an end, that it's, you know, you need to go ahead and find out where you're standing with the Lord, make sure of your salvation.
Yeah, well, in fact, the matter is there is not a single person on that, what is it, an island?
It's Guatemala. It's Central America.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know.
Geographically challenged.
Yes, I don't watch news. I didn't hear what...
Well, I do have a leg up on you. I am a history teacher.
Well,
so.
I didn't hear what country you said. I just heard there was a volcano that exploded somewhere.
Do you know there was one that exploded in the United States, too? Or at
like
least
recently?
It's oozing.
Yeah. Recently? Okay, so you do realize I work like 16-hour shifts. This is like the only day a week I don't
is,
do it.
Is it not on Facebook
Hawaii.
Or something? Yeah. Guatemala. Or Kilauea.
Hawaii. Oh.
Hawaii, yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
New island is being made.
Oh, that's good, though.
Well, not like you're adding to the island.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all, they've all been told the gospel at some point or another. They know the gospel. Beyond that, Romans 1, right? Creation is enough. They are aware of the Lord. So it's, you know, if he,
it's enough to know the Lord or
right.
know about the Lord, but it's not
enough
for
to
salvation.
Save them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our next verse is Colossians 1:17, and it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is one of my favorite verses.
I like the imagery it gives me. Like, literally the universe. Like, it's that he's got the whole world in his hands kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, he's literally standing there with the whole universe, just kind of holding it together.
Yeah.
Like before.
And if you have a sense of God's providence and his sovereignty, then it takes on a whole new meaning. It's not just he's got the whole world in his hands. If you have an understanding of God's providence and his sovereignty, it takes on a much deeper meaning. I mean, he literally holds all things together. It was brought into being, into existence by the power of his word, and he holds it together by the power of his word.
Right. And you know what? I think we mentioned it before on a previous episode where, you know, we like to say that there is not a rogue molecule. Mm-hmm. In creation. But the fact is that because he holds everything together, if he didn't do that, there would be no molecules. I mean, everything is his, everything he created out of the power of his word, and it is held together because he has determined it to be. It's absolutely amazing and mind-blowing when you start breaking it down of what it means.
And there's so much that we don't know.
Right. The working together of, you know, man's responsibility and God's sovereign control of everything. You know, the question in and of itself, it says preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. So, you know, a lot of people, well, then how is man responsible for anything? Well, because man is responsible for their sin. How? Because it's their sin. But God's in control of everything. Right. But it's still your sin. You know, you deal with, you know, deism on one side, where and it's a thing we have to stay away from. Deism, where God has just kind of created the universe and spun it like a top and stood back and just kind of watched what happens. And then you have fatalism on the other side, where he is literally telling you what you're eating for breakfast. And it's not either of those. It's something in the middle, where he is, man has free will, but we are not free in our nature.
Right.
Exactly.
You know,
there's
what?
The difference.
I also want to point out what Pete had said about we don't know what we don't know. God has given us the scriptures to know him. But he has not put everything into the scripture. There are things that are secret, that are private, that, you know, we could not comprehend at all. It would literally blow our minds. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And this isn't something that should be strange or foreign to us, because we see it through our entire lives. When I was a child, my parents didn't give me all the information. They gave me what I was able to handle,
right,
according to my age and my maturity.
Hmm. Well, and okay. The thing
and
is,
we do the same thing with our own children,
right,
today.
We all have teenagers in here, and in guiding them, it's one of the statements is, you don't know what you don't know, because they haven't seen it, they aren't prepared for it, or, you know, they just don't have the capacity to act on certain things. I mean, what is it, 21, 22 before the brain is fully developed? Something like that. And obviously,
some would say a little bit longer than that, right?
29.
Yeah, that's you and me, John. That's us.
I don't remember where I heard this example. Like Brandon says, you know, Brandon says, I've never had an original thought. I steal all my stuff from somebody, and so do I. When I'm, you know, talking to someone and dealing with, you know, but why would God allow this terrible thing? Well, you know, one, you're not God, you don't know everything. The way I get them to understand that God's sovereignty, that sometimes these horrible things are good for them. Have you ever taken a baby in for shots? That baby is getting a shot. He is in, he or she is in pain, is screaming, is looking at you like, why are you letting this happen? But when they're 10 and they don't have polio, they're like, thanks. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom, for not, you know, for giving me the shots, so I don't, you know.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that's
for
with
their
anything.
Good. They don't understand. And that's how we are.
Right,
we're getting a shot. At, you know, I'm 34, almost 35, and you know things will happen, and I'll be like, "But why, God?" And then a couple of years down the line, I'm like, "Oh, that's why."
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, that's why we discipline our children, is so that they will respond in a godly fashion to, you know, what happens to them in the world. I mean, we don't like the punishment or the discipline that we deal out to them, but we are doing it because we love them and they need to grow in particular areas.
Right. And that reminds me, we haven't done a plug in a little while, so I'm going to go ahead and do this one.
Do it.
Bringing up dealing with your children, Paul Tripp, amazing when it comes to in your own home, biblical ways to discipline with your children and men.
Step up.
Well, yes, but that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, also, he has a lot of stuff dealing with us and our responsibility and how to be with our wives and things. So very good stuff if you're struggling with anything, you know, how to discipline your children in a godly manner or how to bring the gospel to your children. Paul Tripp is an amazing, amazing resource in that way.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah, he is.
All right, what was
Definitely.
That? Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So there's a lot going on here. He is, we're seeing Trinity. We're also seeing sovereign control, and we're seeing the cross.
Yep. You know what? This is off this particular subject, but just the fact of the last part of that verse, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, nobody sits down in front of a king unless if you're the son and also God, you're going to sit right down there and thank the Lord that he's actually interceding for us right now. What do you think? I see Pete's mind just going, oh,
I'm like, that's how a awesome. Sermon. There's a sermon there.
You do that one on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, it's Barry's turn now, so.
Oh, okay.
Is Barry preaching this Sunday?
Oh, he's doing tonight.
Tonight. Ooh. Man, I'm going to miss it.
Tonight's the night.
I'm going to miss it. That's so sad.
Anyways, Pete, what were you going to say about Hebrews 1:3?
Well, just the fact, again, it's bringing out the fact that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. I mean, the God's word is powerful. We talk about his word, the Bible, mm-hmm. and then, you know, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and all the things that it is powerful to do. But also his spoken word brought the universe into being, but then also holds it together. I think that, you know, when we get to the end, and we are have more understanding than we do now, I think we might, I hope, you know, the scientist part of me wants to see, how do you do that, God? How do you hold it all together? And, you know, scientists have been looking for this.
Particle.
The more they figure out, the more they know they don't know.
But you know what, though? How much rebellion can, you know, people on this planet be than to not admit that they don't know? I mean, they just make stuff up to try to cover themselves.
Well, because the one answer that it cannot possibly be right, is that there is a God that does these things.
Yeah, no, that's what they say. That's
because
not what you said.
Because if that's right. true, right. Because if that's true, then you know what else is true?
Everything else.
Well, everything else. But beyond that, you are now under judgment.
Exactly. You're responsible.
Right.
Well,
you're actually responsible, and you will have to give an account for yourself.
Actually, you are responsible whether already. You realize it or not. You just will have to acknowledge your responsibility.
Right. Right. And these guys, they get so desperate. I have a guy I work with who will literally, I mean, anything over God. Anything. Oh, there's a God. And you know, we just innately know when we find truth, we know something is true. I'm like, is that true? How do you know that's true? So what about the Bible? Well, that's not true.
How do you know that?
Okay, well, you just destroyed your own premise. So, because this is true, but then you know that somehow you just magically find truth, but then you don't know that this is true, then what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You know what? They dodge the question every chance they get because, you know, we do not like to be held accountable or... People just have sinful desires, and if we admit that there's a God, then you're accountable to it, and you need to change your ways.
What I find interesting is that if they can get enough people to believe that God's not real, it's got to be true. Like, if enough of us just...
Because it's a democratic process.
I don't believe
process.
In fairies. Like Peter Pan, if you just don't believe in fairies and Tinkerbell dies... if you don't believe in God, he just stops existing.
Well, that's one of the big problems with theology in America, because we are not used to any monarchy over us, where there was, you know, back in medieval times, where there was a king, and it didn't matter if he was just or unjust, whatever he said was law.
Yeah, no taxation right without king. Representation, except we've been given representation in the kingship of Christ.
You know, it's funny is how, you know, today we rail against that, and we... you know, our culture at large kind of, you know, bristles at the idea of any authority over them.
And it's like literally any authority at this point. I mean, a 10-year-old looks at his mom and is like, you ain't in charge of me. Like, any authority.
Right.
Watch YouTube. It's scary.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that, but we see that at work through history, and we see it at work in the world today, that there are spheres of influence, spheres of authority, all over the place. We see it at work. It's not a strange thing for that to happen. Why is it so hard to grasp that over all of this, there is a king, a sovereign who rules over it all? If he created this world in that way, where all these things, all these spheres, the parental, there's a hierarchy in the family, you know, at work, it would be so weird if nobody was in charge, wouldn't it? How would that right. go at work for you, John, if no one was in charge?
You don't. This is family-friendly radio. I can't talk about that.
Okay. Matt, no, if no one was in charge?
I know. You know what, though? That's the thing. If you take a look at this world and Satan working in this world, he is trying to break down everything that you just spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's trying to break down. First of all, he's denying God as being sovereign. He even though he knows it because he's under punishment, but trying to break down the family, you know, breaking down any moral compass that there is. And like John was saying, you know, you'll even have a child cursing at their mother, cursing at the teacher, cursing at the police officer. Nobody is even willing to address
that. He's just expressing himself. He's just expressing himself.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yes. You can't
right.
keep the child from expressing themselves, can you? Yeah, yeah, right. Okay. All right. I think we have our last verse, right?
No, we got two more. All right, let me go. We've got Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, what exactly does that mean?
It means he's got
exactly what it says.
He's got a really nice chair in a really nice place, and he's looking at us, and he's in charge of it.
Which, as I see the picture of he created this universe.
Yes.
And he says, it is mine. I mean, he has that. It's like, you know, in history you see, you know, the hubris of Napoleon when he's standing there about to be crowned. And what does he do? He takes the crown right out of the hand of the cleric who's handing it to, who's supposed to be putting it on his head. And he takes it and he puts it on his head. Now, that's hubris.
Yeah.
What God is doing here. He has every bit of authority to do. He sets his throne. He creates everything. He makes the universe. I mean, every intricate part of it. And then he sets his throne and says, it's mine. I will rule over all of this.
Right. No, it's from the smallest thing to, you know, I don't want to be a fatalist like John is. But, you know.
Thanks, Matt.
He is not. There is nothing that is out of his control. In fact, Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast in the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So even things that people on this planet that think are luck or, you know, karma or something like that. I know I got this bad taste in my mouth from just saying that. There is no future that the Lord doesn't have control of.
So Piper always has a little helpful snippet. In his thing, he's got, it would be helpful to discuss this with your children in relation to the common concept of luck. Is there such a thing as luck in a world ruled by the providence of God?
No.
No.
No. And he said, and then he actually uses, that's where it reminded me, because he uses that same Proverbs 16:33, about the lot is cast, but the decision is wholly from the Lord.
Yeah.
And I like how it goes on with that. Things may look, may not look holy and wise, and we've discussed this already, you know, storms and natural disasters and personal tragedies and things like that, but we know that God has his own secret purposes.
Right.
We can't understand them. We can't wrap, we as humans can't wrap our minds around this. I mean, now I'm, pardon me for bringing up a Hollywood movie during this time period, you know, while we're doing the show, but
movies all the time. He's all right. Come on with it.
Brandon just misses all the ones that aren't Braveheart.
Oh yeah, Freedom. Yeah,
yeah.
Bruce Almighty, where you know Jim Carrey gets to be God for I don't know how long.
You actually paid money to see that? No.
No, actually, I did not. One of the things that really struck me about that movie was when he was hearing the prayers of all the people around the world. And
just in Cincinnati, wasn't it?
Oh,
or
my
whatever
goodness.
City he was in.
And it was overwhelming. It was something that would give you, it would make you go crazy. And it almost did in the movie. He just couldn't handle it. Think about all the things that God is in control of. We say he's sovereign, and we're so focused on ourselves and what we think and our perspective all the time.
Right.
It's hard to wrap our minds around the fact of a God who's known the thoughts and intents of every heart since creation of billions and billions of people, holds together all things according to the power of his word, down to every single atom in the universe. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around something like that.
Every hair and because, is numbered.
Exactly. And because he does those things, he knows all things. And we can trust him, just like the child. Jesus says, be like little children. What he means is that you trust your father, right?
Right.
Amen.
The small child, until it's proven otherwise, trusts their earthly father. Well, we can always trust our God, our heavenly Father, because we know that he has our best interest in mind, and we know that he controls everything, down to the smallest thing.
And then 2 Timothy 3:16, all of these things, Scripture is for your good, to make a man complete for good works, right?
Right.
So you put those two things together, and what we have is absolutely everything we need, sovereignly provided by the Lord. I mean, given to us to bring us together as a family, as the body of Christ, as believers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've discussed it before here. Scripture was given to us for this purpose. But if you're a new believer, there is something for you on every page of the Bible. All right, except for that little page in between Old Testament and New Testament, which confuses a lot of new believers. And even if you've been studying the Bible for 40, 50 years, there is still more in there, the depth of it that God can reveal to a theologian. It's absolutely amazing. We can never plumb the depths of it in this lifetime.
Well, what is it? I just heard recently, and I don't know how old this was, because it could have been a few years ago, but it sounded like it was just recently that John MacArthur, after 42 years, finished preaching through the New Testament. So he's been plumbing the depths of the New Testament for 42 years with his congregation preaching on Sunday.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Thought.
I didn't know that.
Which just blows my mind that, the richness and depth of the Word of God.
You know what? And, of course, we've all heard his sermons. And he can't even put all the knowledge that, as he's studying the Word, he can't even put all the knowledge that he's learned into the sermon.
He has to write books to fill in some of the gaps.
It's amazing how much information there is in those pages.
Okay, and the last verse in for our question today is Matthew 10:29-30. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. And we've even mentioned that already up to this point. Not one animal. A sparrow is a tiny, tiny thing. I was just at the pet store a few weeks ago. Got a new dog, as was mentioned last time.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the penny, the original wording there, they're talking about such a small, like their
tiny,
version
tiny,
of a penny.
Tiny.
It's got like literally three flecks of silver in what their version of that was. Like it was worth nothing.
Well, it had to be worth nothing because I saw one of these birds in a cage. They had these
useless
for pets.
Bird.
The little tiny, tiny things, almost the size of a hummingbird. Yeah. So we're talking about something very, very small.
Right. And right. Their life is not outside the sovereign control of God. It is born, it lives, it gets fed by God, and then it dies on the exact day that God says, you're dead.
Right. And so if that's the case, and that's just something that, a sparrow can live its entire life without a human being even seeing it, probably. Mm-hmm. And then if we are made in his image, how much more important would you be to the Creator?
Absolutely. Just the fact that, the hairs of our head are all numbered. Again, going back to the whole kind of trying to wrap our minds around the fact of how infinite the mind of God is, how much he knows.
And I think the fact that a lot of what he knows is based on he knows what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's
we'll tie it back to his providence.
Right.
Yeah. And
I'm really glad he's in charge.
You know what? The biggest hurdle for a lot of Christians is to submit to a sovereign God and to really take that word for what it is, in control of everything. It's not just in control of the big things. It's not just in control of a Christian's life. It's not just in control of the weather. He is in control of everything because he created it. It's his. You know, he's not a deist. He didn't spin the top and let it go. He is, his hand is in there every day, all the time, every moment, taking care of us.
Yeah, and what it comes down to is you will either kneel now or you will be knelt later. He is absolute king.
All right, you have been listening to Sunesis Radio on Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM, WPGT, where we preach grace and truth.